Great to see a full house. Things are boding well. Just imagine if this was dropped into the room you're going to go in at the end. You wouldn't be saying it's a full house. You'd be going, ah, we're rattling around. But that's all right. It just means we've got room to grow. Awesome. Love it. Well, thanks for being here this morning. I've just become privy to a bit of information. 90 years ago, a small group of people stood on an edge, about to embark on an adventure. And what Dave said last week about what the edge represented is where there's adventure, where God does miraculous things, where you're stepping out into a new season. And they stood on an edge in the Market Square in Wigan. I did some outreach. And that was the very beginning of this church community. 90 years ago this week. How awesome is that? 90 years on. 90 years on, we find ourselves the spiritual descendants of those first people on another edge. About to step into the next season of what God's got for the same continuum of the church community. I love that stuff. You see, what we do when we step out into our newness is never just about us. It was never just about those people in the marketplace that season and the church they built. It was never just about the first pastor that led this community or the second or the third or fourth, whichever Davies. It's about the future as well, isn't it? Yeah. It's about the seed that's inside each of us. I love the fact that in God's economy, if we will step to the edge and take the risks and press into what he's saying to us in our generation, the advance of the kingdom is safe for the future. But it's our responsibility to do what we can when it's our turn. I loved listening to what Dave shared last week on the, I wasn't here obviously, but on the podcast. And he made it clear what the edge was, that the edge is a place where there is adventure. There's a place where there are surprises. A place where you could fail, and then you might fail, but God will be with you and pull you through and keep you moving. It's a place where, because we're stepping out, we need the miraculous intervention of God to sustain us. It's certainly a journey that's not predictable. And boy, I can tell you, this journey is not predictable that we're on as a church community. Things crop up, things happen. There are surprises, there are resistances to what we're doing, but it's an adventure that we're launching out into together. The edge is a place of momentum. You know, the edge is not a static place. This isn't a criticism, but it struck me that the image that we've used for the Edge series of the guy kind of stood on the Grand Canyon looking into the void, on the edge. I thought to myself one day, that is not the kind of edge I'm on, we're on. The edge we're on is more like being on the edge of a wave, because there's momentum when you're on the edge. There's movement. The point is, we're going somewhere. And that got me thinking around this whole thought that actually, we're on the cutting edge. There's an advance. There's penetration. We're slicing into the kingdom of darkness and taking the goodness of God forward into the community. We're growing in our own lives. We're growing our ministry expressions. So I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the cutting edge in particular. Now, every person has a cutting edge. You've got one. There's an edge where you move into your new thing. And that might be a small thing, a large thing. It's where you're taking some ground of advance. It's where you're learning. It's where you're taking a risk. It's where you're stepping out in faith. But you have one. And I hope you know what it is. I hope as you're sat here now, you can think, yeah, my edge is, I'm learning to, and something comes to your mind. Where as a family, we're going to be doing this year. There's something you're stepping out in. It's where you're stepping out. It's that sort of forward thrusting part of you. It's an attitude, an approach to life that's expressed in multiple little decisions to make changes and keep moving forward. Well, maybe God said to you, you need to stop smoking this year. So for you, that's the cutting edge. The cutting edge is, I'm going to get off the cigs this year. He may have talked to you about your alcohol consumption. He may have talked to you about your timekeeping. He may have talked to you about trusting him and daring to tithe this year. And for you, that's your cutting edge. It may be that you need to face up to a fear this year. You've always been scared of spiders, and this year you're going to go out and kill one. There's something that you're on the edge of. You know, or it may be that, you know, I never speak up when we have small group. You know, we're doing gospel primer, and I never speak up. I'm scared to death. This year, I'm going to speak up. Yeah. That is you on your personal cutting edge. And as you penetrate the unknown and kill the fear, you will find you thrive and have that sense of momentum in your life. Maybe it's a decision to take a year out, to do some retraining. It can be a million things. The point is, it's yours. Yeah. You have a cutting edge. Yeah. Every ministry has a cutting edge as well. Many of you serve in ministry expressions of this church. You know, we've heard a bit about Kids Church this morning, about the young people with youth and Live Free. We've got the pods that Shebby was talking about earlier on. That there's all sorts of stuff going on in the community. Well, to be effective, those ministries have to have a cutting edge, don't they? There's a point where they penetrate, where they scoop new people up. They meet new challenges. They make decisions to move forward and reinvent themselves. And they have a cutting edge. And I would also say, every church has a cutting edge. Every church, local church, like TC, like us gathered here today, must know why it exists, why God has raised them up in their community, and what he's commissioned them to do. And we do. We know why we exist. We don't just exist because 90 years ago, a group of people pioneered this church. We exist because there is a now word of God that God is speaking to us as a community. And we've said, we're going to take that word, Lord, and we are going to press into it. And that represents our cutting edge, the forward thrust of the life of the whole church. The edge that is taking us into a building project, that's taken into Destination Wigan, that's taken into Love, Grow, Serve, those values that we're building with, that's our cutting edge in this season. So when people come here and they say, well, what's TCC all about? We can tell them, can't we? Because we know what our edge of advance is. We know who we are. So you have a cutting edge. Your ministry does. As a church, we do. But I want to just remind you of a pattern, a human pattern. New Christians have a cutting edge. Oh, boy, they're so glad they're saved. They love Jesus. They want everybody to know about it. They have a cutting edge. When they're penetrating darkness, they're offending people, they're doing what they do. 5 years on, are they still as sharp as they were? That's the challenge, isn't it? We launch a new ministry. Whoa, this is exciting. And it's all on the church video and the media and it's on Facebook. And we get volunteers and the new ministry expression is pressing into the community. 3 years on, is it still as sharp? Our human innateness, our propensity to slow down, our sort of the drag of sin gets on us. And if we're not careful, we lose that sharp cutting edge that keeps us pressing forward. And it's the same for churches. Churches, when they get a certain momentum in their life, can just settle down. And it's same old, we've always done it this way and we always will, thank you very much. And we slowly grow older together, and what was a thriving, vibrant, razor-sharp community that penetrated the kingdom of darkness when it started becomes blunt and cannot make a dent in the community. And the frustration breeds in it, and eventually it'll die. I don't believe that's us. But I want to point the pattern out. There are inherent dangers to do with living on the edge of God's advance, being his people, both personally, as ministries, and in the community. So there's a leading edge, there's a cutting edge for us. I want to define it for you this morning. You see, I've come to the conclusion that the cutting edge of your life and our church community is where two things come together. It's very simply this. You see it on the screen. It's the point at which God's word that he speaks to us, his now word, the word from God that says, do this, do that, do the other. It's where that meets my willingness or our willingness to actually do it. Where those two things come together, that's the sharp edge of advance. So why are you going to do what's in your heart to do this year? You're going to say to me, I believe God's spoken to me. And you may take me to a specific scripture or a prophetic word that somebody shared with you or an impression you have. Think, I feel God wants me to do this year. And as you do it, that's the sharp edge. That's the cutting edge. That's what takes you forward. For us as a church community, we're saying to you, we believe God's word to us is to be a destination for Wigan. To be a community that are loving, growing, and serving this community at a whole new level of influence than we have been for the last 90 years. We believe that's God. It's not Dave after a pizza. You know, it's not just people getting above themselves. When God's word comes and we get a hold of that word and say, right, Lord, we will work with you and your word and we will press in. That's what makes us sharp. That's the edge of the advance. You know, back in the Old Testament, God spoke to Israel after they'd come out of Egypt. And he gave them awesome promises. He said, I'm going to take you into a new land and it's flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, there are giants there, but you'll kill them. Don't worry, it's your land. Wherever you put your foot, it's yours. Word, 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 word. All it needed was a people to say, we believe you, Lord. Come on, we're going in. And do the work required. And one generation, the first generation, failed. The word was good. It's just the willingness wasn't there to work with God. It took a whole 40-year cycle for another generation to come round and get a hold of the same word and actually have a cutting edge sharp enough to enter that future. I pray that in my generation, I'll always enter the future God's got for me. I'll be sharp enough to get there by being willing to respond to his word for me. And I pray for us as a community that we'll always be sharp enough and keen enough to hear God's word, live it out, and press forward to do the business he's got for us. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. See, it's the word of God that's sharp. In Ephesians 6, when it speaks about the whole armor of God, it tells us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You've got to have a word. Now, the word of God operates at two levels. There's the scripture, the Bible, which is our sword. It is the word, the enduring word, the principles we live by. Then God, by his Spirit, sort of lifts from it now words to us, doesn't he? And makes it live, and we step out on those. If you're sat here thinking, God, I'm not sure I have a word. Well, that means you've nothing to get a hold of. Yeah. You've nothing to get your willingness around to start to advance the cutting edge of your life. And my prayer would be that by the time we're done today, you've opened your heart enough for God to drop a word in your heart. A specific word. A word about your life or your family or where you sit in this church. A word which you can take a hold of and say, I'm going to do it, Lord. Come on. And you'll find faith rising in your heart. And it'll be like Peter stepping out of the boat. It'll be like the ocean song we sang. Because the word is fresh and clear and strong with you. In James 1 verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Well, the problem with some people is they do have word. They have word coming out of their ears. They can quote the Bible upside down and inside out. But what's lacking is the willingness. They won't get off their backside and actually do some of the work that's required to apply that word. They think, this is going to be, it's going to take my time. It's going to take my energy. Yeah, it is. But what better thing to invest your life in than taking a hold of the now word of God to you and willingly pressing into it? Whatever cost goes with that, whatever sacrifice goes with that, we trust a God who knows better than us about the future. Dave made a statement last week about being on the edge, and he said this. He said, the safest place in the world to be is on the edge. And that's not logical, because on the edge here, it's like, whoa, you don't feel necessarily safe. But actually, the Christian life is a life of faith. We live from faith to faith. And it says we take steps trusting that God will hold us up, not just what we see with our physical eyes. That's the safest place to be. Who do you want to be holding you up? Just what you can see? Just what you can do yourself? Just other people you can see around you? Or do you want Almighty God with all his power and resources to be holding you up? That's why when we step out in faith on his word, that makes us sharp. It makes us powerful and penetrating as we advance into a God-filled future. Faith comes by hearing that word. We do that word. Now, as I was looking around this theme of the sword of God's word and the sharp cutting edge, I came across a promise in the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 9, there's a passage where God begins to speak to his people about restoring them after a bad season. And he says to them that their king will eventually come riding on a donkey, which is about when Jesus comes. But ultimately, there'll be a blood covenant, which is to do with Jesus coming. And then he says that God's going to restore to them as much as they'd lost, and he was going to make them like a warrior's sword. The prophet was giving them an image, saying, come on, people of God, come on, Israel, as it was then, I'm going to make you like a warrior's sword. A warrior's sword is for advancing. It's for killing things. It's for cutting. It's for doing damage to an enemy. And he was saying to God's people, you're going to be like a warrior's sword. You're going to have a sharp cutting edge. And as I meditate on that, I thought, that's exactly what we are to be today. I think if we can reach for it, God says to us, I will make you, TCC, like a warrior's sword. That is, guess we're going to need to be. We ain't going to need to be some flimsy plastic toy sword or some ceremonial sword. You know, that at the top is a plastic trash toy sword. You know, if that's the kind of sword we are as people and as a community, what damage can we do? You know, it's always boink, 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 boink. It just bounces off things. But sadly, some of God's people are like a toy sword. They're playing at Christianity. They're playing at church. They're playing with God's word and ways and never really getting themselves to a place where they're sharp and can penetrate. No, this other sword at the bottom is actually the sword of state. That's the sword that is used to anoint the queen and the king when they're enthroned in our sort of British culture. Beautiful. What a piece of art. Looks impressive, but totally blunt. See, sometimes Christians can look impressive. Oh, they can look ornate, bejeweled, bedazzled. You know, they've got all the Christian bling. They've got all the wristbands on, 13 wristbands. You know, they can quote the Bible liberally. They're cool Christians. But are they sharp? I believe God doesn't want us to be toy swords. Doesn't want us to be ceremonial swords and look like institutional Christianity. No, he wants us to be a warrior's sword. Warrior's swords have got weight in them. They've got a sharp edge. They're for doing things. And our future as a community is in being a warrior's sword, no other kind. We might not look fancy, but if you actually do your research, you'll discover warrior swords don't look fancy because they are they're a utility tool. They're not to impress you visually. They're to chop your head off. So it's to do the business. And I would suggest we've not to get too preoccupied with the bling. They say, well, we're building a big building. Yeah, but it's a tool. That building is a warrior's sword. It is going to be part of our cutting-edge advance into this community for Jesus. But we could make it into a sort of a ceremonial sword. We could bling it up and say, come see our shiny new building, people, and sell the building. We're not here to sell a building. We're here to sell Jesus. We're here to help people meet the Word of God for their lives, meet a Savior, meet a life transformer. And it's simply a tool. It's a warrior's sword. Now, your cutting edge, that point of advance, that point where God's word and your willingness meet, has got to be looked after. And I want to just give you three things that will help us look after our sharp cutting edge as a warrior's sword in God's hand as a community. First is this: your cutting edge has got to be maintained. It's got to be maintained. Have you ever tried to do something with a blunt blade? It's so frustrating, isn't it? You get a knife and you're going to chop the carrots and you can't get the thing in. I hate blunt knives. So quite recently I bought a new knife sharpener. Keep it nice and sharp. There's a joy in using a sharp blade, isn't there? You know, Dave works with wood. Many of you are in trades professions. You'll know your plane needs to be sharp. Your chisels need to be sharp. Maybe you're in the hairdressing industry. My son's a hairstylist and barber. You know, his biggest whinge when I go and have mine done is, this thing's blunt. But when it's sharp, it's beautiful. We need to be sharp, which means maintenance. How do you keep your edge sharp? Well, I think if the edge is where God's word and our willingness come together, it means God's word has to be kept sharp in me. In Proverbs, it says this. It says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And this is how I keep my word sharp. I have people that I trust around me, and I am willing to pull my sword of God's word out and say, this is what I feel God is saying to me at this time. And they go, they get theirs out and they go, you're right, Steve. I see that. I believe that. I stand with you. And together we sharpen each other. And there's an exchange of truth and encouragement that builds us up and keeps our edges sharp. See, the problem with the cutting edge is it gets dinted. It can get blunt. It can get burrs on it. We need each other, is what I'm trying to say here. The way you maintain your cutting edge is by keeping in the community of God's people and keeping the word alive in you, keeping it sharp, letting there be a conversation, let there be some exchange. That's why, as Rich said earlier, we need to be in a small group. We need to be meeting with people in forums where we can keep that word sharp and strong for us both personally and as a community. Because isolated Christians lose their edge. It's dead simple. They lose their edge because edges are maintained by rubbing up against other believers. And the truth is, often it's those who are a bit harder than us that sharpen us. No, equal weight metals don't necessarily sharpen each other. Generally, you're looking for something a bit harder. So you're looking for somebody who's maybe a bit further down the journey than you, who's a bit more knowledge and wisdom than you. And as your life interfaces with theirs, it grows you and keeps you sharp. Expose your cutting edge. Let other people sharpen it. Affirm God's word. Affirm your willingness and your commitment. And that will help you maintain your edge. It means you knowing God's word, knowing his ways. It means being in church, maintain it. You know, if people wander in to this community and say, oh, I didn't know that we were building a building, you would look at them and go, have you not been for a while? And they'd probably say, well, yeah, actually. Well, I still call TCC my home, but I've not been for a while. All that tells me is they've become blunt in relation to what our cutting edge is right now. Being together keeps us sharp. So let's make that a priority so that our cutting edge is maintained. Second thing I want to say is this, that our cutting edge has also got to be protected. It's got to be protected. Sometimes, because we're on the edge, and the edge is the edge of our advance, it's a point of friction, the point of impact and penetration, it can be dented, it can become blunt. And we've got to protect that word. Now, in my image here, it's basically, I'm saying, there are times when that word needs to be in its sheath and not being waved around. Do you remember when God spoke a word to Mary? We mentioned it at Christmas. And God appears and says to her, you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. He says that she treasured these things in her heart. It's as if she took the word God had given her, she popped it in its sheath, where nothing could damage it, where negativity couldn't get on it from other people, where it couldn't get, where it could be protected until the right time to pull it out and use it, where doubt and fear and stuff couldn't get on it. You have to protect your word. And what God is saying to you, and what God says to us as a church community, we have to protect it through our conversation. We have to have a good report about what we're doing together. We've got to have faith speak. We've got to have times in our personal journey, I believe, where we don't go on all the time about what God said to us. Because that word needs to be tucked away, protected, until the right time to pull it out and do the damage. You know, all the problems are on the cutting edge. The cutting edge of your personal life, cutting edge of ministry life and church life. If a church hasn't got any, as a person you haven't got any, if life is an amble, if I can use Dave's word from last week, then you're not on the edge. When you're on the edge, you bump into issues because that's the point of friction. You know, new Christian gets saved and starts to tell their family and tell their friends. That's a sharp cutting edge. They've received God's word, they're willing to do it, and they're doing it. But that means some people will cast doubt on it. Some will say, oh, well, I think you're wrong. There'll be opposition. It's not necessarily an easy journey, but as they stay willing and sharp and keep that word alive, they make progression. I think it's the same for churches. As a church, we advance into this community and we're making a massive statement building this building. Massive statement. Some people are going to mock us for it. Some will say, oh, they're just all about renting the place out. Oh, yeah, it's all about... potentially people can make it something it's not. We have to protect that. We protect it by keeping it in its sheath and bringing the sword out at right times. Times when we're together, when there's encouragement and faith and positivity in the room. If God has spoken to you a word, my prayer is that you have somewhere to take that word and keep it safe. And the sheath to me is like, I think it's people again. There are just some people that know what God has said to me about some stuff, and everybody else doesn't know. And that is me protecting the word for a season. And at the right time, the sword comes out, and the word is clear, and it's clear that I'm willing to work with it, and the advance takes place. We need those places in our lives. And I think as a church, we need them too. There's a time and a season for everything. And it takes skill and wisdom. to know when to be flailing your sword around. Sadly, some Christians have been damaged over the years by people, you know, bringing their word out, and they cut people up, and it all falls apart in a little while. It's why? It's because the word was misused. Words sometimes got to be protected and kept in its sheath for the right time. So there's balance. We have to protect the word, and we have to maintain the word. But my third and final thought is this. Our cutting edge must have weight behind it. A sharp cutting edge will not penetrate unless there's some weight behind it. I don't know whether you've ever been to a military museum and picked up some of these old swords. They weigh a ton. They're massive, you know, they're heavy. Steel and iron. You sort of pick it up and you go, man, how did they manage to fight with this? You think they were on a horse and they had all the armor on and they're carrying this thing and you can hardly stand with the thing. There's weight in a warrior's sword. It's weighted just right for the individual. They were crafted for individual warriors. So it was relative to personal strength and size and so on. Well, God's given you a word that's crafted for your life. It's relative to what your skills and abilities and personality is. He's given you a word to run with for him. He's given us as a church to run with for him that's proportionate to who we are as a people. But for it to advance, it's got to have weight behind it. So it just doesn't penetrate a little bit and then lose its momentum. And I want to suggest to you, the weight is two things. The weight is firstly, character. You see, I've already implied, when we get busy on that cutting edge, it costs us. It costs us energy and time and money. And people of low character will pull out quickly. But people of high character will stick with it. People who have learned to be consistent, to be reliable, to be faithful. People who understand why we're doing what we're doing. They will add the weight to the sharp cutting edge of who we are. Low character people will drop off. They'll probably stay at home, give it 6 months, and then turn up when we've been in 6 months so they don't have to pay for it. That's what low character people do. High character people say, I'm in. My hand is with yours, Dave, on that word, and we're going to wield that sword together. And they count the cost, they dig deep at first fruits, they give, they serve, they're part of what we do, they have the joy of making it happen together. Whoa. And then they smile and are gracious to the people that turn up 6 months later as well, because the people have good character. Everybody's on a journey. Too many gifted people, you know, who are sharp seemingly, got a clear word of God on their life, don't make it because of weak character. My prayer is that you will grow as a person of strong, godly, Christ-like character, because that adds weight to the sharp cutting edge of God's word to your life. So character's part of the weight. The second thing that's part of the weight is organization. Good organization, having a plan and working it. You know, God's word comes to us and God says, do this, Steve. Do this, TCC. Come on, I'm with you. I promise you it'll work. And we say, okay, Lord, do it. He says, no, you do it. Oh, but you're asking us to do it. Yeah, but you've still to do it. Oh, we better have a plan then, haven't we? We have been working a plan for probably 8 years, the fruition of which is growing out there, and we're going to actually put our feet on in a few minutes. Yeah. There's been a plan, financial plan, strategic plan, working with banks and builders and professionals, and that plan's had its ups and downs over the years, and the enemy tries to frustrate the plan, but there's a plan. Yeah. But what we've never lost sight of is what God told us to do, the word. And we've kept a hold of the sword and said, we're going to drive this thing forward. We are going to be a destination in Wigan for this community that helps them find Jesus. We're going to be salt and light and part of God's answer to this community. And as we've held on to it with good character and with sound organization and admin and stuff and a good plan to make it happen, that's the weight which makes it happen. And I believe that's personally true as well. God may have said something to you, and you're thinking, well, God's told me this had happened, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, what are you doing about it? Because the Christian life is relational from first to last. It's you and God together on a journey. God speaks, you say, right, Lord, I'm in. God speaks, right, Lord, I'm in again. God says the next thing, and you take steps of faith, and you look back on the journey and say, how did I get from there to here? You just kept your hand on the sword, saying, I'm willing, I'm doing. And God kept speaking, clarifying his word, giving you the next thing, and that's the journey of faith. And you've been sharp all the way through. Time has gone. I wanted to bring you a little challenge to close. Band can come back up, please. That'd be great. You know, award-winning ministries, churches that you look at around the world and think, they're awesome. I'm saying to you, essentially, they have a cutting edge. They've got a clear word from God that articulates to them who they are and what they are and why they're doing it. When you look at strong Christians that you respect, they will have had a clear word from God, a clear sense of how to live their Christian life and willingly been out working it. And they've been protecting it and maintaining it and getting some weight behind it. My challenge for you is this. Have you got a word? And how's your willingness? Because where those two things come together is the cutting edge of your personal Christian life, and it's the cutting edge of our corporate life together. You know, I love the fact that we can actually begin to see the fruit of our corporate journey in this very practical expression of the building. So I don't want to go on at length about the corporate thing. I want to just, in this closing moment, make it very personal to you. Just bow heads. Just think for a minute. Outside of God's generally revealed word, which is the Bible, what is God saying to you right now? What is God's word to you? What is the now thing that he wants you to be growing in, changing in, developing, tackling, facing? What's your personal edge? Now, if you can identify that, then just recommit in your heart and say, God, I am grasping that and I'm going to work with you over this next period. That's you staying sharp and on the cutting edge. I pray you can all articulate something. For those of you that can't, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to put a hand up or anything like that, so don't worry. But in the quietness of your heart, I know there are some people here, I believe God's told me to pray this morning. There are some of you here and you do not have a word. But God's going to give you one. Just open your heart to him right now. Heavenly Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would breathe across your people here this morning and you will drop into their hearts and minds a present word for them to get a hold of, to see as the edge of their advance. Lord, I pray that where that word freaks them out, where it brings fear or doubt, you give them the courage to press through. But let us be a people of the now word of God, as well as a people who live according to your enduring written word. Lord, give us the sword of your word, fresh and clear like never before, so we can penetrate the kingdom of darkness, both personally and corporately, at a whole new level. In Jesus' name. Finally, if you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've heard us talk about God and about Jesus and the Bible and all this stuff. Maybe it's a mystery to you. Everything we're saying starts with us believing, first and foremost, that God loves us, that he wants a relationship with us, and that he has promised to bless us and give us a hope and a future, that there's a word there for you, a word of hope, if you will stick your hand out and grab it this morning and willingly say, okay, I'll give God a chance. I will dare to believe God exists. I'll dare to believe that what you say Jesus did for me, he actually did. And if you'll take a hold of it, you will find the beginning of a whole new cutting edge in your life, a life with God. And if that's something that you would like us to pray with you about, if that's something you're saying, yes, that's me in your heart right now, will you please let us know or talk to one of the people who have come with you? We have a team of people here who would love to give you a testament, one of these little Bibles like this. We have a team who will pray with you. We generally meet at the hub right at the end of the street as you walk out of here. You'll see a group of people there. Make it yourself known. Talk to someone. Say, hey, that whole thing about becoming a Christian, I think that's me. Have the courage, even though it scares you to death, to grasp that and give your life to Jesus and start a whole new advance in your life. Amen? Yeah. God bless you.